North Rock Podcast.
Oh, how are we doing this morning, North Rock? Are we good? Yeah, good. Good. How many of you guys woke up this morning thinking, man, I'm going to go to church and learn about Bangladesh? Right? Yeah, it just doesn't happen, right? But again, to me, that's part of what I love about being a part of the greater body of Christ, is that when we gather, we have the privilege and the opportunity to be in the presence of the living God. How many of you guys experienced that today during worship? Amen. And there are times like that where I'm the same as David was this morning, where you just don't even have the words. You're just like, God, you're so good to us that you would inhabit the praise of your people, that you would give your very life for those who would turn to you as their Lord and Savior, right? How many of you guys this morning, like me, are thankful that God's still on mission trying to reach Bangladesh? And that we get to be a part of that, right? How many of you guys, like me today, are thankful that God is still reaching the untouchables? Anybody know what I'm talking about there? Right? I'm one of them standing on this stage. I didn't have it all together, right? God's still at work in me to get me together. However, he reached out and he touched me in those moments where I needed him most, right? That we serve a God whose heart for his house is that all would come to know him, that all would be transformed by an experience with him. And we get the privilege of being a part of his house. So turn to somebody and say, you're in his house. Then turn somewhere else, somebody else, and say, we are his house. Yeah. You know, recently I was listening to a pastor named Miles McPherson. Anybody know who Miles is? Leads a pastor, pastors a church called The Rock in Anaheim, California. And he's an ex-NFL football player, played for the Chargers for a while. And so he started this thing with his church where they kind of call each other out in public. And so when somebody says, who's in the house? They yell, Jesus! Like that. We can't pull that off here. He can, but that's what that reminded me of right there, right? So who's in the house?
Jesus!
Hey, we did it. Good job. Give yourselves a hand. Love it. I love it. Hey, what we've been talking about over these last several weeks is this idea that we serve a God who is so in love with his creation that he gave his very life so that they could have a relationship with him, right? And we've talked about the idea that even though God does all that he needs to do in somebody, the moment that they believe, the moment that they accept him into their lives, it usually comes out and is expressed in acts of faith over a progression of their life. Does that make sense? That we're learning how to take off the old man, the old woman, and put on the new that Jesus affords us, right? And we talked about that as we come into a relationship with him, he pours out his love, and that we pour out back in that praise and worship, right? We know that we're called to live lives of worship, that we're called to live lives of love, and we're called to live lives of service, right? That's like the mission statement for the local church. That's why we gather every week. It's not just to highlight some of the gifts on this stage, but it's also to pour back into us the life that Jesus entrusted to us, right? How many of you guys feel more full of the Holy Spirit than you were when you walked in today? Such a unique culture. And that's what I get the privilege of talking to you about today, is simply that. That it's not just the what and it's not just the how. Remember last week we talked about the how? But today I'm going to add the how we go about doing the how, okay? So if you weren't with us last week, I'm going to catch up. I'm going to give you the abbreviated version of what we talked about in our three chairs discussion. Anybody remember my three chairs? If you didn't, I brought them with me again today just to make sure that you guys are all tracking with me, okay? Last week we talked about that God's purpose, his plan in our lives is to attract us to Christ, to connect us to his body, right? To train us and then to send us on mission for him, right? That the purpose of his mission is that it's always working back to those that have experienced his grace and mercy and love and kindness in this world to begin to serve back to people who don't know him yet. I love the idea that we started with Bangladesh in our conversation today, because nobody thinks about Bangladesh. I don't think about Bangladesh. And I praise God that as we talk about it, as we begin to dream and pray together as a congregation, that some of us are going to get a heart for Bangladesh, right? That we're all going to support it in some fashion and through prayer, through our offerings, through the time and the attention that we give to it, because we're choosing to do that together. But some of us are actually going to go take a ride on a rickshaw. Oh, somebody's going, don't look at me, Pastor, right? I love that that's the way God works, that his heart is poured out into us so that we can pour out our heart into others. And that as we grow and as we learn and as we steward the life that he entrusts us, it brings us into contact and gives us more attraction and more favor and more craveability to a world that desperately needs him. How many of you guys, by recent news events, know that we are in a world that desperately needs Jesus, desperately needs the love of Christ, right? So we talked about how last week. Chair one is where we all started. It's the place of the seeker. It's the place of the prodigal. It's a place where somebody either is coming to learn about Jesus or somebody loved them enough to tell them about church and invite them and bring them along with them, or they're just now coming into a new believer's experience, right? They're coming in saying, God, do you accept me right where I'm at? And of course, he says, yes, I did. I did it a long time ago before I ever met you. I went to Calvary to pay for your sin. So good, right? Chair one is where we all started this journey, right? And in chair one, we experience the love of Christ. We come to a point of decision. We sit in chair one, and it's a great place to be because we begin to learn about the promises of God in our lives. We begin to understand that the scriptures are there to guide us through this world. They're there to remind us that he has empowerment for our lives, that he has promises that he's spoken over our lives. And some of us here today are even in chair one. We're just saying, I'm just here because this person brought me. Don't look at him right now, but I just want to say props to whoever brought you, and we're glad that you're here, okay? This chair has equal value as any other chair in the church. Amen. This is why we do church, chair one. And we want to be really good at creating an experience where people can come to know Jesus through the love of his local church, right? But we can't just stay in chair one, because if we stay in chair one, what happens to us, guys? We kind of go into the high chair effect, right? Where it just keeps being about me, 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 me. Everybody wait on me, 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 right? But that's kind of how we experience it. But as we take on God's new life and he pours his heart into us, we less and less and less think about me, 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 and more about him, him, him. And through that, we get connected to his body. And we move from chair one to chair two. Chair one to chair two is about making a connection. It's why we do this. It's why we do our connect groups. It's why we do our connect teams. It's why we do connect classes. Because we know that none of us are there yet. Right? We can all admit that. That God has done everything that we need him to do in our lives to receive the salvation that he's afforded us. But we're all learning how to express that love back out, right? He poured all of him into us in that seat. And now we're learning how to pour all of us through him into other people's lives, right? So we connect in this seat. I don't have a lot of time to talk in depth about how that happens. But if you'd like to get the message, we do have those available. And then from chair two to chair three, chair two is where we're a growing Christian, right? Where we're starting to mature. We're starting to learn that it's just not promises for the people on stage. It's promises for me. And it's through the connection to his church we begin to walk out the life that he has for us. But the transition from chair two to chair three is about training. It's about being reminded that we are special operations forces in this world. That there is a war that continues to wage in this world. And that we have been empowered by his Holy Spirit and his message to bring hope and life and light to a dark world. That's what it's all about, is we're all in this process. And I'd love to tell you, once you're in chair three, you're home free, pull up the recliner, whoop, let's all relax and be comfortable and just enjoy the ride until Jesus comes back, right? But we know that doesn't work. He knows that once we're in chair three, he trains us to send us back to where? Chair one. The church, the mission of God in this world, it's all about chair one. It's all about finding creative ways to connect with those who have yet to come into relationship with him. And we believe that the local church is the hope of the world. I say that without any bit of hesitancy. The local church is the hope of the world. Why? Because we've got all together? No. But it's because we have the living God as our leader. It's because we have the hope of the resurrected Christ as part of the expression of our lives. And so today I'd like to talk to you about 7 points of culture that are a part of this church that God uses to influence the larger culture around us. Okay, is that what we're talking about this morning? Let's do that. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that you have called us into your body, Lord, that you love us and you've accepted us right where we're at, Lord, that you paid for our sins so that we could exchange our lives for your life. And Lord, as we take on that transformation more and more and more into your likeness, we believe that as Psalm 37 says, that the Lord directs the steps of the righteous, that he delights in every detail of their lives. Lord, I pray that over these people today, Lord, as we seek you diligently, Lord, we know that you direct the steps of the righteous and that you take delight in our everyday steps. So in Jesus' name, pray that we'd be a people who continue to get revelation about your heart, and that as we cooperate with your Spirit and as we come into an understanding of how you're working in us, Lord, that we would more and more and more readily trust you to lead us day by day, step by step. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'd like to talk to you about the culture that I believe that God is calling us to see released in North Rock Church. Why is culture so important? Because culture represents how we do things, right? It's what makes something unique. And can I just tell you that I'm not one of those preachers that stands up here and says, our way is the only way, it's the best way, and it's the place to be all the time. I believe that God is a diverse God, and that he cares about the diverse people in our lives, and that he uses a lot of expressions of his church to reach a lot of different kinds of people, right? But I also believe that part of God's heart is that people of diverse backgrounds would rally around him as their king and their leader. And so there's diversity in a lot of different ways we can think about that. But our culture is shaped by our beliefs, right? Culture helps shape our beliefs. And a guy named Dr. Sam Chan, one of the mentors from afar in my life, says it this way, that culture is saying this is how we do things here. This is my best attempt to say, if you don't quite understand what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it, I'm trying to articulate it so we have a stronger culture here, so you know kind of what we're about, where we're going, and what we're trying to do with the lives that God's given us, right? So culture, it helps define us. Culture shapes our behaviors and our attitudes and our perspectives. Culture shapes our way of life or the lifestyle that we live. And I think if we were all honest with one another today, we could readily admit that if we don't define our culture has a way of defining us. Does that make sense? If we're not intentional about saying this is the culture that we're going towards based on God's word to us, based on his promises over my life, based on the resurrected relationship that I have with him, that our culture can kind of come in and influence us instead of us influencing it, right? We know it's both and, but I believe that God's body is intended to be a culture shaper and not just a reactor to a culture. Does that make sense? So anyway, that's what we're trying to do. I'm going to talk to you about seven specific ways that the church's culture was meant to be great and life-giving. How many of you guys can say amen to that? That the church is intended to be great and life-giving. I'm going to say it one more time. Who's in the house? Jesus. That's right. That's why the church is great, because Jesus is here. Why is it life-giving? Because Jesus is here, right? Amen. See, and that the truth of the matter is, a culture can be great, and it can be life-giving, but if we were all honest with one another, when it's not, it can get a little lethargic, it can get a little lazy, it can sometimes even drift into toxic or lethal. You guys ever been in that situation? I'm not going to say name names, right? I'm not going to talk. Just saying that sometimes the culture of the church can slip to those places, and we want to be a culture that's great and life-giving to people. So, seven ways that we believe God's called us to influence the culture of North Rock Church. It's who we are, it's who we want to become, it's how we're going to go about doing this thing called life, okay? It's what we're going to be known for in our community. First one is we want to be a culture of love. How many of you guys are surprised by that? Right? It's like, oh, geez, he's talking about love again. Right? It's a good thing to talk about love, but it's even more important that we talk about love until the people that are out there begin to say, hey, those people, they have a culture of love. Yeah. They're accepting, they love us, they care for us, they reach out, they do the things that they talk about, right? They don't say one thing and live a different way. John 13, 34 through 35 says, a new command that I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another, if you love one another, right? So again, that's one of the ways that God makes himself known in this world is by the love of his body. We believe here at North Rock Church that the harvest is everything. That chair one is what we're here for, is to connect and love on people that don't know him yet, knowing that it has that transformational effect that many of us have begun to experience in this world. See, the church doesn't exist simply for itself. It's the only organization, really, that's created for those that are yet to be members of it. And it's complicated, right? But think about it for a minute. It's the only organization in the world that exists for those that aren't members of it. It's what we're here for. But for the entire world, not just itself. The aim of our ministry extends beyond our own walls, our own church family. We exist to love, serve, and reach our friends and our neighbors with the love of Jesus, all the way to Bangladesh, all the way to France. We've got missionaries in France. We're going to be checking in with them in the next couple of weeks and talking about how we can respond to some of the challenges over there. We're active in 7 different places around the world. We'll talk more about that in coming weeks, okay? But we want to be a culture of love. Second thing that we want to have a culture of here at North Rock is a culture of serving. Okay, love's easy. Serving, I didn't get as many amens. I just got to tell you. Right? I just got to tell you. But I also understand that it's a progressive work. Just like we didn't all fall in love with Bangladesh because of a 3-minute video. Oh, I'm going there, right? We don't serve until we understand the power of service. We don't give away our life until we understand the power of what Christ has done to give his life away for us, right? That there's a progressive nature to the way that the Lord shows himself, reveals his heart to us, and then in worship, we gather that heart and we turn it into our love back to him in worship, and then that worship becomes acts of service and vice versa, and on and on and on we go, right? Culture of serving, Matthew 20, verse 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Here at North Rock, we believe that serving lifestyle equals spiritual health. That's part of how we take our pulse. How many people are serving? In what ways are we serving? In what ways can we increase our ability to serve others? Not because we have to, but because we get to. Because we get to give away the life that he entrusts to us. And then as we pour it out, he pours it back in. And it's this never-ending resource of his power and his love in people's lives. I'm going to read this next little paragraph that talks about this, the importance of service in God's development of us from chair 2 to chair 3. Simply because I'm going to read it because there are a lot of people that helped us craft the language of this. Our lead team, church council had input into this. And I want to read it because I think that they did a really good job pulling it together. It says, the key to achieving and sustaining spiritual health is through serving and ministering to others. It's in the context of a life of service that everyone offers and receives care, support, and encouragement. It's by connecting to his body and serving that everyone offers and receives care, support, and encouragement. It's also in the context where individual gifts are highlighted, celebrated, and given meaning. We look for character and a great attitude from those who seek to be servant leaders here at North Rock. We believe these qualities more than any others determine a person's success going forward. Because of this, we are committed to creating a culture of serving by regularly celebrating our servant leaders, spotlighting their contributions, and supporting them in their work as they move into new seasons of their life. Can I tell you what I'm most excited about in the life of North Rock now are some of the people that I see moving from chair 2 to chair 3. We've got some great things coming up, folks. We've got some great ministries that are being launched. We've got some great new additions to ministries that already exist. And part of that is, again, that dream of North Rock Espanol. We've got some developments on that. I'd love to stop and preach on that for a little bit, but that's next week. It's not this week. It's next week, right? That's next week. All those words simply say that everyone has a place to belong. Everyone has a place to offer service and love and kindness. And as we steward that together, our reputation for being a place of service expands as well, right? So the third part of our culture that we're working hard on every day here at North Rock is to develop a culture of humility, right? That we remember that we need to think about others, not just ourselves. That we want to remember that we're better together and that every good gift that comes to us came from Jesus, right? It's not that hard to be humble when you remember where everything good in our life comes from. So he's the one who gives us the gifts. He is the one that helps us along the way. A culture of humility. That's what I love about being a part of the church. Some of the most humble and amazing people I've ever met are in the local church. They're doing incredible things, and they don't get up and just trumpet it and beat their drums about what they're doing. Unless, of course, they are a drummer, and then they beat their drums. John, that wasn't a shot, man. I promise. Okay? Culture of humility, that's one of the things we're trying to be known for around here. Fourth part of the atmosphere, the culture that we're trying to develop here, is a culture of faith. Right? How many of you guys know we need some faith in this world? Do you know that faith is the only thing that we do bring to the game? That Jesus does everything else, but it's our faith that releases his promises in our life. He's already done everything that we need him to do. I can't state that often enough around here. He's already done everything that we need him to do in our lives for our salvation and for every need that comes into our life. And the idea of faith is what we bring to the table and say, God, I trust you. I believe that you have good for me. I believe your specific promise in this area of my life. How many of you guys right now have some things that you're having to exercise faith on right now in your life, right? Hey, there's no doubt there are some hard things in this world that need, one, for us to believe that God is for us and that he is in this with us, right? Don't take my words for it. I'm just a pastor. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says it this way. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. How many of you guys know that a lot of people define faith just by the first half of that statement, right? I have faith, I believe there's God. Can I tell you that's a type of faith, but that's not the faith of the scriptures, right? Hebrews chapter 11, 6 says that we have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. Can I just tell you right now that your God is for you and not against you? Can I just tell you that no matter what you're facing, no matter what challenges we're seeing, no matter what it might look like at halftime right now, right? Oh, you Bronco fans, you always go there. You always go there. But this is what I wanted to say, nothing about the Broncos. Listen, our faith means that we believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Because that's who he is, good God. And he wants to show his life, his favor, his love through our lives. So as we apply that idea of a culture of faith, here at North Rock, we don't believe that our yesterdays were better than our tomorrows. We don't believe that God is finished with the work that he's doing here. And we actually believe that we're called to impact those next door and around the world. That's why we're taking on another place like Bangladesh. You know, we dream about exercising our faith in such a way that we reach 1% of our culture, right? And so some of you guys are going, Pastor, man, you gotta get some faith. 1%, really? But do you know that 1% of our North Metro area is about 1,600 people? Imagine what God could do through the hearts of 1,600 people on mission for him in this world. If the enemy can distract and destroy with small groups of people, imagine what 1,600 fully committed followers of Christ could do in this world. Imagine what he did with just a few fishermen that he gathered. Just a few disciples, just a few people, right? We're all part of that on completely different areas of the world. But as a culture of faith, we believe that we're called to develop disciples and leaders and churches and movements. How many of you guys know there's faith spoken into that? And you know what? You can't exercise faith without looking a little foolish at times, right? Because I'm sitting in here looking at y'all, knowing that we could still grow quite a bit before we even touch that. But I believe that's what God's got us here for. That's why he's called us to this season, is we're exercising faith about the promises that he has for us. You know, one of the questions that I use to help torment the staff, that's part of my job description, it's written in. Torment the staff, right? One of the questions that I use is sometimes I'll stop our staff meetings when we're talking about things going on and things we're working towards and say, guys, what would we do if we really believe that Jesus is in this? I mean, if we really believe that God is active and alive and working through our lives, what would we accomplish? What would we attempt on his behalf in this world? What would we dream up? And I say that not just to them, but I say it to you. Uh-oh, yes he did, right? What would we dream up? That's the process of moving from here to here. It's hearing that still small voice says, this is why you've experienced what you've experienced, because now I have somebody that can represent to those people. This is why I've given you this place of influence. This is why I've given you this measure of affluence, is because I'm dreaming about your life. Can I just tell you that as we express our heart for his house, because he's given us his heart for his house, we dream about some things here at North Hawk. And I just want to share a few of those with you as we get ready to move into our last three values that we're talking about, okay? But I just want you to close your eyes for a minute with the promise, y'all don't fall asleep on me. And if somebody's asleep already, tap them and let them know that I'm giving permission to close their eyes now, all right? This is what we dream about here at North Rock. I just want you to visualize it with me just for a few moments. We dream of inspiring people to celebrate Jesus with the very best of the gifts as the Holy Spirit leads us. We dream of a generation of children, youth, and young adults being transformed by an encounter with God through Next Gen Ministries. We dream of a church that expresses the love of Jesus by sharing life together through a network of incarnational communities spread throughout the local area. We dream of a steady stream of leaders being sent out from our church in answer to Jesus' prayers for workers for the harvest. We dream of a church so healthy and dynamic that it's capable of serving other churches in the Gateway District, the Four Square Movement, and the greater body of Christ. And we dream of having a facility that serves as a helpful tool in fulfilling our mission and exhibits excellence to the glory of God. Okay, you can look up now before you really do fall asleep. Okay? And I'd love to preach on each of those. We don't have enough time in this particular service, though when Pastor Andrew was introducing what we're going to be doing for the day in the 9 o'clock, he said we're going to do it for the next few days. So maybe this is the service we go on for a few days. Oh, look at you guys. All you can, I figured you guys would be like, no, we're out in like 10 minutes, man. Get moving, right? But I just want to highlight just a couple of those. One of them you're going to hear about next week. We're talking about some of the dreams that God is stirring for our children and our youth and young adults. We're excited about the way he's moving in the leadership and the group that he's developing in that area. Also want to just affirm and encourage you because of your faithfulness here at North Rock. You participated in the training of over 100 pastors this year. We conduct church planters trainings. We conduct regional training events that are part of this. We were part of a master's program that was launched with an intensive week of study here at North Rock. You guys are already doing these things. So on those days when we feel like, man, I'm just doing the grind, I'm just working, remind yourself that God's got a dream for your life, that you're a part of a bigger dream and the expression that he's given to us here at this church, right? And finally, the last three I want to talk to you about are we want to be a culture where people are known for honor, right? We want to be people who use our words for building up and not tearing down. We want to be a place where we honor people. You guys felt that when we honored our veterans last week. That's something the church should be known more for. When we honored Miss Vi for her long life, right? You guys know Vi. 96 and going strong. That's what we should be known for. We felt very honored by your guys' gift in Pastor's Appreciation Month. You know, that's something that makes me proud and happy, not just because I get to take my wife up to Estes Park, which I'm still looking forward to, by the way, but it makes me proud of the heart of Jesus being expressed through his church. I want to be a place known for honor. I want North Rock to be known for that. Amen. And here's the one that I want to kind of drill down on just for a few minutes, and that's that I believe that North Rock and his church in general should be a culture of unity. Amen. And even as I say that, I know that you know that I know that you know that I know that unity is hard work. It requires tough conversation. It requires a willingness to stay when it's easier to leave. The culture of unity has to be tested out. It has to be worked through. It needs to be challenged through. But I believe that God's plan is that we're better together because we stick together through hard and good times. Which leads me to my little illustration. It's been sitting here. Some of y'all have been wondering about it. I'm here to start a boycott. No. But this little cup had 1.2 million articles written about it this week. And the representation of the body of Christ, of Christians, is that those Christians, they think they own the color red now. And they think this, and you know, listen, I'm not going to get into where the article started, But I do believe that somebody in some marketing firm for some place deserves a raise because they got a lot of publicity this week, right? So much so that we're all, you know, thinking about it as it sits here on my podium today. But this is what I want to say. The body of Christ should be known for unity, not divisive. We shouldn't be known for what we stand against. We should be known for what we stand for. That we need to be more inclusive and less divisive, not just in our language, but in the way we live our lives. So that when people say, those Christians, we can go, whoa, 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 wait a minute. I'm here with you. I'm drinking and it's on my stage. We're Christians too, right? That it's not about, you know, this happening or that happening, but I just think that we can do better as a culture of unity. And you know what really brought it to light for me? As I prayed and I thought about a response to this whole thing, as I'm watching it blow up all over Facebook, as I'm watching good friends of mine that are in ministry and leaders and people that I know love Jesus and walked with him for a long time to, you know, kind of draw in and take their battle positions against one another and start throwing stuff at each other about, you know, you guys saw it on Facebook. Right? If you cared more about the poor, you wouldn't care about the cup. Right? If you would do this, if you would do that. And I just kind of saw this divisiveness playing out in front of me. And I'm going, Lord, that's not what we're about. So my encouragement to you is drink your coffee in whatever cup you like. And remember that we celebrate Jesus at Christmas. Right? That's my 2 cents on the matter. I know it's barely worth the 2 cents there, but that's kind of what I wanted to use the illustration of unity. Let's be a people that are unoffendable. Let's make that commitment to each other. And let's influence the greater culture by the love, by the generosity, and by the unity that we share. Okay? Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. And it is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. And here's the promise, right? It says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It says, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Do you guys know that in unity, God's blessing abounds? That we want to be a unified people, reaching people, and being an influence to bring them to chair number one. And finally, the last part of the culture that we're trying to develop here as cultural architects, as we partner together, as we steward the life and the gifts and the promises that he's afforded us at North Rock, is we want to be a culture of generosity. We want to be a generous people that has enough in his house to meet every need that comes our way. We don't have to meet every need in the world. Thank God for that, right? That's a lot of resource. All we're responsible for are the needs that come through our relationships and through our stewardship in this world. Do you guys know that last Christmas, through the angel blessing tree that we did, we were able to take care of 98 kids? 96? We're going to call it 98 in faith. How about that? 98 kids had a Christmas gift underneath their tree that wouldn't have had you guys not been faithful to the mission of what God's called us to do in this community. And I get a chance to say that even before we start to gather and begin to take those names off those trees again to help those in our community, I want to just say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for hearing your Father's heart and exhibiting it in some way that made a difference to somebody. But can I also tell you what happens when you start to get a reputation for being generous? The city comes down and they put a pin on you. No. More people come. More people come that could be in chair one. More people come that need help in the day-to-day to see the expression and the love of Jesus Christ in their life. So we want to be a culture of generosity because Luke chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Okay? One of the marks of a healthy church is generosity. And I don't know about you today, but I want to be known for this. I want to be known for being a generous people of a generous God. Because at the end of the day, one thing we can't afford to forget, y'all, is that we are his provision for his vision. That it's his vision through us that's reached by his provision through us. Does that make sense? The measure that we use will be used on us. So let's be generous, not just with our money, but with our words, with our time, and with our hospitality. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's ask the worship team to come forward. And if you're sitting here going, Pastor Chad, that's a lot of stuff to think about. And I agree with all the cultural values. I think those are important things, and you should do more of that. We want to be more of that. Can I just encourage your hearts today that we can only transform as fast as we're willing to trust that God's already doing the work in us. And so there's three takeaways. I'm one of those practical guys. If I don't have a takeaway, I leave this place going, yeah, I agree. Now what do we do? Right? How do we live this out? What should we do? Here's a couple of suggestions. One, let's live these cultural values. Two, let's teach these cultural values. And three, let's be accountable to these cultural values. Let's do this thing together, knowing that the Psalm 92, verse 13, the key verse of why we began to talk about this in the first place is because Psalm 92, 13 says that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. That's God's promise over you today, that you are flourishing in his house, that that's what he wants to do. And here's my last application. I'm going to jump off this stage so that these guys can lead us in worship and we can do some business with the Lord as he pours out his love into us as we worship him, so that it moves us towards more and more and more active service. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, I think is an appropriate verse for a week like we just had in the world. And it simply says this: you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Listen, here's the so what to this whole message, you guys. I believe that the culture that God is building is one that brings light into the darkness. And the thing that I love about light and darkness is that light doesn't have to warm up to the darkness, right? The moment that light enters the darkness, what happens? There's light. There's light. And so my challenge, my exhortation, my encouragement to those of us that today are carrying the pain of what happened in France is that we would be light. That our response isn't that we all turn into Rambo, right? Our response is that we would shine the light in the darkness to so much of an end that a group of people would go about the good deeds of Jesus in this world. That we can be proactive in that way. Does that make sense? In other words, if ISIS or ISG or whatever group chose to do evil in the name of their religious ideology, how much more good the body of Christ can be done by those who take their faith equally serious? Let's be people of good deeds and good works that invade the darkness for Jesus. Amen? All right, let's worship him. Father, we thank you for the way that you lead our lives. Lord, we thank you that any part that we pour out our lives into is really just a reflection, expression of the love and the power that you've entrusted to us. Father, we thank you. You've called us to be kingdom culture shapers. Lord, that we are called to share your influence and share your love with others. And Father, today as we consider how you're speaking to us individually and corporately together today, Lord, we just acknowledge that you are the great paradox, that you give us everything that we need, not so that we would be comfortable, but so that we would extend ourselves on behalf of a world that you deeply care about. Lord, we thank you of your heart being expressed through this church. Thank you, Lord, that you care that all would come into living faith with you. All. And Father, we know that's our mission, that we make our lives about chair one. We make our lives about living out the gospel in such a way that it becomes a tangible expression that attracts others to you. Father, help us to do that with ever-increasing excellence as unto you. Maybe you're here today and it's just been one of the particular cultural elements that we're saying, that's something I know God's asking me to do. That's something that God's doing in me in this season. Can I just say, praise God for that. Praise God for the way that he is faithful to be intimately aware of every detail of our lives and to be active to bring his resource into those things. And maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Chad, I'm more in that seat one, not the seat three you've been talking to today. I'm a seeker. I've had an experience with the Lord, but I've drifted. I've moved away from that, and now I'm back today. Can I just say that we love having you here today? And that the reason that we do church, the reason we go through all of this work is so that we can present the gospel week in and week out. And so we're going to pray a prayer that we pray every week around here at North Rock. That's up behind me right now. And I'm just going to practice that idea of speaking honor over our sound and our worship and our lighting team in the back. Because I bet you it's already up there, isn't it? Man, they are so good. They are so good. Good job, you guys. Let's go ahead and pray this prayer. If it's your first time or your 50th time, let's pray it like it's our first. Let me hear you. And then, if you're praying this for the very first time, I would love to meet you after the service. Love to give you a gift that will help you get started in your journey with God. And we'll go from there, all right? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and that you rose from the dead 3 days later. I receive forgiveness for every failure and sin in my life and give to you the right to direct my life from this day forward. I dedicate myself to learning the scripture, to living in fellowship with God's people, and following you in water baptism. Because in Jesus' name we pray and we trust. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, if the Lord's doing something in your life, can you give him a clap offering? Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, your mercy, your power in our life. And as always, we have people available to pray with you. We have a prayer team that would love to partner with you in that. And if you said yes to Jesus for the first time, I'd love to meet you today. God bless you guys. Have a great week. And thank you for being here at North Rock Church, all right?
Thank you for listening to this North Rock resource. To find out more information about North Rock Church, check us out at www.northrockchurch.com.